For the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 13th day of November 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Fake. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. We'll take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Logan Sports Facility in Indiana. We'll discuss the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hear updates of crop progress in Illinois and Iowa, Indiana and Minnesota. And we'll discuss a bit of Brazil's corn prospects with somebody who's really enthralled by the idea that you can grow corn and other crops between the 15th parallels anywhere across the planet. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support comes from Global Commodity Analytics, now taking reservations for upcoming seminars in Illinois and Indiana. December 2nd in Lafayette, Indiana and Monticello, Illinois, and December 3rd in Jacksonville. Meals provided, reservations required, seating is limited. Contact Mike Zuzulo at 866-471-2588.
Let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for a Wednesday afternoon. December soft red winter wheat at 645.5, up a quarter of a cent. The March down a quarter at 655.5, and next year's July, the harvest month, at $6.61 in Chicago, a half cent lower. The hard red July at $6.95.5 finished 2.5 cents lower. December corn futures 2.5 lower at $4.29.75 a bushel on the settlement price. The March at $4.40.25 down 3.75. May corn 448.75 down 4.25, and July at $4.56 down 3.75. December corn futures 469.25 down 3.25, and next year's July in 2015 at 486.75 down 2. November beans 13.19.75, a half cent lower. January 13.15, a half a higher. Actually, November beans were up a half, not down a half. Again, the settlement price there at 13.19.75. March contract $12.98.25, up 1.75, and the May at 12.80.5, up 3.5, and July 12.76, up 4.5. November beans, $11.77 for next year, up a penny for the day. Bean meal at 423.30, down 440. Bean oil at 40.96, that's up 21. Live cattle futures finished the nearby contract at 132.75, up 7.5 cents for December. Feb at 134.50, up 22.5. November feeder cattle at 164.85. up 20 cents, and January at 164.65, up 45 cents. Lean hogs finished the December contract at $86.37.5, up 82.5 cents for 100 pounds. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures at $93.78 a barrel. They're up 74 cents. RBOB gasoline, that's the wholesale price, up 4 cents at $2.62.7. Ethanol futures at $1.76.1, a penny and 9 tenths higher. And the difference between the two, or the spread, at 86 and 6 tenths of a cent wide, is 2.1 cents wider than it was yesterday at the end of the day. Natural gas at $3.56, that's down 5 and 7 tenths of a cent. And the diesel fuel at $2.89.8, up 4.5 cents. Gold futures at $1,268.40 finished $2.80 lower, and the U.S. dollar at 80.92. That's down 0.27 on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Sunny skies, a high of 41 degrees. It's 39 outside, so we very well may make it. Mostly clear this evening with a low of just 26 degrees. And then tomorrow, sunny skies we'll have a high of 50 degrees. Partly cloudy on Thursday evening and a low of 34. Friday, partly sunny and a high of 52. And Friday night, mostly cloudy with a low of 40 degrees. Saturday, a 40% chance of showers, mostly cloudy and 59. Showers are likely Saturday night, cloudy and 53. And on Sunday, a chance of rainfall, mostly cloudy and 61. When we start the work week, a chance of showers, partly sunny and 53. And then Monday evening, a low of 26 degrees and mostly cloudy. Tuesday, sunny skies and a high near 35. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the 13th day of November 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets, Jackie Vakes at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Anything surprise you in today's trade, or was it lackluster?
Well, it was pretty lackluster. There's no question about it. You know, we're 80% done on harvest for corn, like we talked about this morning. We keep waiting to find out what the RFS standards are going to be. I think, in general, the consensus is that prices are low enough that the blend wall will probably remain the same, but nobody knows until something actually comes out. And, you know, we had a big benefit earlier in the week this week because there was a lot of spread unwinding that went on. In other words, they had bought beans and wheat against corn, and when they get out of those spreads, you know, that means corn benefits and goes higher and the other two go down. Now, I think we've gone back to a more neutral position. I think, in general, we've probably seen enough upside on corn, considering what the report said last Friday. And so, the big crop keeps getting bigger. That's the attitude. You know, it's kind of like when you go into, you know, rain makes grain. Well, bigger crops usually get bigger, and I think that is probably where we're at. We'll wait for Informa to come out on Friday. They'll give us more information as to acreage for 2014. Beans, both sides of the neighborhood. We don't have any export sales out for anybody until Friday because of the holiday, which always makes for a more difficult time because you lack that direction. I don't know if NOPA Crush is going to actually come out for beans tomorrow or if they'll wait till Friday on that. But, you know, there's still a lot of talk about the ban on trans fats, which could reduce demand. And this is hard to believe, but about 160 million bushels. Now, you know, initially they said they weren't going to do this until maybe 15. Now there's all kinds of different talk going on, so you really don't know. So I actually did a little bit of research, Todd.
Okay.
And if we did lose 160 million in demand, let's say that would happen during 14. We have a projected 170 million bushel carryout, and nothing else changed. That puts us at 330 million. We haven't been that high since 98. But beyond that, you know, when we talk about RFS, we seem to focus completely on corn and forget about everything else that's involved. And there are some rumors out there saying that demand could be dropped by almost 200 million with the new RFS standards. Well, let's say that did happen in 14. All of a sudden, we're at 530 million carryout. Well, what does that mean? The last time we were above 525 million was in 2006. Mind you, I am not Debbie Downer completely, because I don't expect we'll get back to these prices. But in that time frame, we traded a range of $1.50 between 530 and 680. So how realistic is it to think that we could take a dollar out of the market or $2 out of the market? We've got great global demand, no question. At the moment, we're all real comfortable because we have extremely tight stocks. But what I'm trying to say is I just think that people who are sitting on grain expecting things to go a lot higher might want to cash out on some of that grain and replace it with a call at some point in time. Guys who have done nothing on November beans for 14 should get something in place. I'd use a put combination spread of some sort, but I just think that there's just too great a risk in the background that we just don't think about very much. And, you know, risk management is not about waiting till you know something. Risk management is about protecting yourself from something happening. And we know that the government can throw us curveballs. We've seen that already.
What do you think about the prospects of the crops out of Brazil and Argentina?
Well, I believe that the crop in Brazil is going to get larger on the bean side. I think that the corn side is probably about where it's at. I think in Argentina, we're probably going to see some additional wheat production come out of Argentina. I think that the corn side of it will probably remain lower than what it had been. On the beans, you know, Argentina is such a tough place because of the fact that they have such strong inflation right now, and they're trying everything they can think of to try and generate income, even to the point of trying to force their exporters, you know, to finance other places. And so I think in general the farmer will do what the farmer normally does, and that is he'll plant in the area that Argentina taxes him the least. And so at this point in time, beans have a big tax on them. Everything does, but beans definitely have a big tax. So I think that'll be stable, and they've had a lot of weather problems besides. So I think that their crop down there is going to be limited more by weather than anything else.
A few weeks ago, We had a really early snowstorm in the Dakotas that was devastating to their cattle herd. Has that worked into the marketplace, and do we know what the real impact might be over time?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Original rumors came out at about 60,000 head, you know, and 60,000 head, when you look at the overall picture, is really not a big, big amount. It is still less animals eating feed, there's no question. Now there's some question as to whether it was even anywhere near that large. And so, yes, I think it's worked into the marketplace already, and we'll be waiting to see when we get quarterly stocks on how many cattle are out there, the inventory numbers as to what the real, you know, it's typical. We had the snow here the other night. I expected maybe we'd see some bounce in the market because of that, because of the impact that a lot of the corn that remains to be harvested is up in those areas. There's some corn still remaining here. It's already been there. And so I think it's the same thing with the cattle. Mm-hmm. Those numbers are all built into the market already.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Have a good one.
You too. Jackie Vanks is with Stuart Peterson. Joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business. So Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows that 84% of the corn nationwide has been harvested. The rolling five-year average is 79%. So while we were behind for most of the year, we're finally caught up and actually ahead at this point. Soybeans at 91% are right on target, frankly, at 92% on the rolling five-year average for the harvested figure. Winter wheat seeding is proceeding ahead of schedule. 84% of that crop is now in the ground. Rolling five-year average is 80%. It's said to be at this time to be in 30% fair, 55% good, and 10% excellent condition. Now, here are the state statisticians with their updates.
This is Greg Tayson, state statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa field office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending November 10, 2013. Iowa's corn harvest at 88% complete advanced 13 percentage points during the week. Although harvest is 8 points ahead of the normal pace, high moisture content is a concern for farmers with fields left to harvest. Statewide, there were 4.7 days suitable for field work, which also allowed farmers to advance soybean harvest to 98% complete, as well as apply anhydrous ammonia and fertilizers during the week. Iowa farmers experienced average temperatures that were 0.6 degrees above normal for the week as a whole. Precipitation occurred statewide from Tuesday morning to Wednesday morning, with over an inch and a half falling in northeast Iowa. Statewide, average precipitation for the week was 91 hundredths of an inch, 31 hundredths above normal, and the first time since May that Iowa experienced consecutive weeks with above normal precipitation. Improved topsoil and subsoil moisture levels rated 63 and 41% adequate to surplus respectively, and 52% of Iowa's pastures were rated fair or better, while hay supplies across the state were rated 86% adequate to surplus. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa field office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week was slightly warmer and drier than average. 8 out of 9 districts in Illinois had average temperatures above normal, and only the southeast was below normal. For precipitation, 7 out of 9 districts were below normal last week. Only the 2 northernmost areas were above normal precip. Corn harvest went up 10 points last week to 93% complete. That compares to 99% 1 year ago and 82% for the 5 year average. Soybean harvest increased by 5 percentage points to 97% complete, compared to 98% last year and 93% normally. Winter wheat planting went up 3 points and reached 98% complete, compared to 98% last year and 92% normally. 77% of the crop has emerged, compared to 80% last year at this time and 77% normally. The condition of the crop was rated as 1% very poor, 20% fair, 71% good, and 8% excellent. I would like to thank all of the producers that responded to the November Ag Yield Survey. Your responses were combined with other reports and used to make estimates for the November crop report last Friday. The information that you provided is important to the agricultural community, and disclosure of individual reports is always prohibited by law. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Minnesota corn harvest remained ahead of normal pace during the week. Despite winter storms, there was 4.5 days rated suitable for field work. The average precipitation statewide was close to normal at 0.44 inches. Corn for grain during the week advanced 14 percentage points to reach 87% complete, just over a week ahead of normal. Average corn moisture at harvest remained at 19%. Canola harvest was nearly complete at 95%. Sunflower harvest remained behind normal but advanced 14 percentage points to reach 79% complete. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Kip Hurlbut with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending November 10, 2013. Rain across the state slowed harvest as the season winds down. Limited grain storage availability has also kept some corn and soybeans in the field, as some growers have met capacity and will need to move grain before resuming harvest. General preparation for winter was well underway, with farmers chopping stalks, continuing fall tillage, and applying lime and fertilizer. 85% of the corn acreage has been harvested, compared with 94% last year and 82% for the five-year average. Moisture content of harvested corn is averaging about 18%. 93% of the soybean acreage has been harvested, compared to 95% last year and 94% for the five-year average. Moisture content of harvested soybeans is averaging about 13%. Conditions continue to be favorable for winter wheat. 97% of the winter wheat acreage has been planted, compared to 97% last year and 94% for the five-year average. 83% of the winter wheat acreage has emerged, compared to 84% last year and 75% for the five-year average. 73% of the winter wheat acreage is in good to excellent condition, compared to 74% last year at this time. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report. This is Kip Hurlbut reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. Now up next, you know, Brazilian farmers are using corn as a second crop. I'll have more with one University of Illinois ag economist that finds this trend captivating. Farmers in Brazil have a very long growing season because of their proximity to the equator. It's opened an opportunity for them to grow a second crop after soybeans are harvested. This enthralls University of Illinois ag economist Peter Goldsmith. He makes regular trips to the South American country.
Right now I am fascinated. I just can't do enough on what's called safrinha. Safrinha is a Portuguese word which means small crop. It's a diminutive, anything inha is a diminutive word. So it's a second crop that follows the soybean crop. The Brazilians have a comparative advantage in soybeans, where we have a comparative advantage in corn here in the U.S. And soybeans are not our second crop, but are certainly farmers prefer planting corn than soybeans for a number of very good reasons. But in Brazil, the opposite is true, and yields on corn are quite low. Yields on soybean are equal to the U.S.
That's all well and good, but the most interesting part for Goldsmith, the interesting part, is how the Brazilians close to the equator are using their corn crop in conjunction with short-season, low-latitude soybean production. Production that provides a good source of protein in a tropical region. That's truly unique, and it gets better because the Brazilians have learned to grow corn as a second crop, or safrinha.
The punchline is, yeah, they're producing a lot of corn, and that's very exciting, and farmers are making money. What it does is it does what economists push in terms of efficiency is called factor productivity. It makes the land much more productive. And so I think it's one of the most remarkable things since the Green Revolution, probably more powerful than the Green Revolution, because the size of this crop, of what this land is now producing, the incremental increase, especially when you can double crop with maize, is, and if you can elevate yields on maize, is, you know, sends chills down your spine, how much more protein, oil, and starch you can produce from a hectare of land.
It takes pressure off clearing land from the rainforest and opens very productive businesses for agricultural producers in a latitude from 15 degrees south to 15 degrees north that has long been considered an agricultural wasteland. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Wednesday afternoon. Let's check the cash grain market. Tara Oliver joins us now from the Logansport facility that belongs to the Andersons in Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Tara.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I am very, very well. Is it slow there today?
You know, things have been a little bit quieter, obviously, since we had some snow earlier in the week, and we're on the tail end of harvest here. But this afternoon, with the sun coming out, it feels like guys, especially to the north, are getting back out and going to get the last of this harvest finished up. So it's starting to pick up just a little bit.
What do you have, 10 or 15% left for corn?
Yeah, I mean, you know, most of it is north of Logansport as you head into the northern part of Indiana for sure now. But, you know, we're definitely down to the last, probably call it 5%.
And all the way through, did yields maintain at a strong level?
Very much so. I mean, especially on corn, we, you know, we're very fortunate in this area. A lot of, you know, above average yields, some even record yields in this area. There's lots of corn everywhere you look. Elevators are getting filled, pile spaces all filled, and people are tucking it wherever they can find space.
Now, putting it away, does that mean that stuff that's coming into your elevator today, is it being sold or stored?
Stored at the current time. I mean, obviously the ethanol plant, we're looking to fill as, you know, as much of our storage as we can and are still using it as far as our consumptive needs. But at our elevator in Delphi, everything we're taking in at this time, for the most part, we're planning on storing.
And will your basis reflect a stronger bent because of that storage at this time?
Yeah, at this time, certainly. We've been continuing to get more aggressive here as we get through the tail end of harvest. And, you know, obviously since we are storing some, you know, that helps us continue to be more aggressive since there's, you know, more appreciation in the deferred slots as far as what we can sell.
And then for the moment, what are your corn bids?
Corn bids tonight on the close, cash price at Delphi is $4.16, cash price at Climbers is $4.15, and cash beans at Delphi tonight were $13.15.
And when you look around the geographic area, are there end users for the soybeans hunting them up, or they feel like they're pretty caught up in their purchases?
No, certainly hunting, you know, soybean harvest was a little bit interesting, a little more drug out. Obviously, there was more that moved this fall because we did create some additional space for corn and most of the producers' bins in this area. So I think that does have the processors still with a little bit of nervousness as they kind of continue to worry about what the supply will be like for the balance of the year. So they're starting to get more aggressive for those beans at this point.
Tara, thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great afternoon.
You too. Tara Oliver is with the Andersons Logansport facility in Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner will be along in a couple of minutes to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. You can find us online at willag.org.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Well, here's the schedule of events that's coming up as we look at it for willag.org. Of course, today, the Farmland Markets Conference is taking place, wrapping up, in fact, in this hour, at the Hilton Garden Inn right here in Champaign. I stopped by there earlier today. About 200 in attendance. Should be a great program. I'm sure they're happy with what they're finding out about farmland markets. We'll try to bring some of that information to you a bit later. Tomorrow evening in Mount Vernon, the Illinois Beef Association, along with the University of Illinois Extension, at the Farm Credit Services Building, I think at 6 o'clock, and it's $25 you need to sign up with the Illinois Beef Association. We'll host a beef quality assurance Assurance Program. It's the first in a series of four. There is another one next week at the American Legion in Lincoln and one in Fairbury. If you're looking to go to one of those, look at the Illinois Beef Association's website. On our own website at willag.org, you'll find on the second and third, we'll be hosting the Ag Masters program that's sponsored by U of I Crop Sciences. There's a link to the program and a way to register there. It's over on the right-hand side of the page in the Outlook meeting section, and you'll find our Will Ag panels there as well, including the December 10th meeting in Mount Vernon. That one's at the Farm Credit Services Building. And the December 11th meeting, which is in Sykeston, Missouri. John Bondurant and Jackie Vakes and Stuart Peterson, or Jackie Vakes and Dan Zwicker will be on hand for that program, which is some of the things that are happening here at WILLAG.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated is now on the phone line to take a look at the weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon,
John. Tell me about this forecast and what you see and what farmers will be able to do and maybe not be able to do in the Midwest.
Well, you know, it's not a bad scenario that's playing out here. We're getting over the cold here this morning. The afternoon temperatures are going to be very pleasant in a relative sense, but we are going to start a warming trend, I think, as we get into Friday and Saturday, and in easternmost parts of the Midwest. Still on Sunday, we're going to see temperatures well above average. We'll likely get up into the 60s, maybe even some 70s in the lower parts of the region once again. So quite a contrast as we continue on this roller coaster ride of temperatures here this week. We will see faster drying rates as the temperatures warm up. There's not going to be a lot of humidity for the next day or two, but as we get into Friday, a strong southerly wind will blow across the heart of the Midwest from Missouri, parts of Illinois, into Indiana, northward. The winds will likely be sustained at 15 to 25 miles per hour, some gusts getting to 35 miles per hour, and perhaps a little bit higher. So a little bit of hindrance coming up from that alone, and then we're also going to be carrying moisture northward from the Gulf of Mexico at the same time, and so some showers will start to pop up on Friday as we go deeper into the afternoon. But the big delay in fieldwork will occur Saturday into Sunday, and that's when we'll see widespread showers and some thunderstorms occurring across parts of the lower and eastern Midwest. At the same time, a little bit of rain changing to snow in the northwestern areas. Moisture totals east of the Mississippi River probably run anywhere from a quarter to three-quarters of an inch. There might be some totals getting up over 1 inch. Again, this will be Saturday and Sunday primarily. Then next week, we turn right around and start drying down again. Another shot of cold air comes along, but there shouldn't be another storm system of size through the balance of the week next week.
Turn your attention to South America now, where some farmers on that continent started out the growing season under dry conditions, but I believe as we approach the halfway mark for them, in planting that is, that things have gotten better?
Yes and no. Mostly yes. I think for the most part, Brazil crop country is doing very well. There's actually some dryness that's evolving now in southern portions of Brazil that has been underway for a little while here. But it looks like over this coming weekend and early next week, there'll be two disturbances that will pass through those very same drier areas and bolster topsoil moisture, taking away any concern whatsoever over a dryness issue there. And the rest of Brazil stays in really good shape. Argentina will fall back into a little bit of a net drying mode for the western crop areas. You know, they struggled for quite a while with dryness there, and then we got hit with a couple of deluges of rain in the end of October, early this month, and now we're drying back down again. But I do not think we're going to fall back into any kind of persistent dryness issue for Argentina. It should be a good scenario overall.
Thanks so much, Drew, for taking the time with us today.
Have a great afternoon.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and joins us on this Wednesday afternoon of the Closing Market Report. That wraps it up. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Global Commodity Analytics, now taking reservations for upcoming seminars in Illinois and Indiana. December 2nd in Lafayette, Indiana and Monticello, Illinois, and December 3rd in Jacksonville. Meals provided, reservations required, seating is limited. Contact Mike Zuzulo at 866-471-2588.